Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's been June weather. Everything is happening at once. Dragonflies are all kind of breeding, and they're out, and they're mating. They're black, luminescent dragonflies. They're all swarming all over each other, and those little helicopter seeds are coming down off the maple trees, and everything is just all going on at once. And the lilacs are in bloom. You can smell them from a block away. They're just overwhelming, just absolutely gorgeous. All of it brought on by sunshine, and so it's a beautiful thing to have a rainy day and to take a day off from all of that concupiscence that is going on all around you. There's nothing so beautiful as a rainy day, a long rainy day in summer. All the things that you felt guilty that you weren't doing, now you can't do. And so you sit there. It just makes everything smaller and more intimate. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. People should not live on the desert. They just are not meant to. I mean, people have gone off to live on the desert from the Midwest, and because they spent all that money, you know, for a house and everything and a boat and whatever you need on the desert, not that there's any water to put a boat in, but so then they have to justify it. You know, 300 days of sunshine is just unbearable to be a prisoner of air conditioning for most of the year and to live like a hunted animal and trying to stay in the shade. But, you know, people love to defend the indefensible. People insist that they love Wagner's Ring Cycle. They do. They claim to have read Moby Dick over and over and over again. Just one of the great unreadable classics. People eat frog's legs and they thrive on other people's disdain and disapproval. It's just part of human nature. I mean, you visit your uncle in Phoenix in August and you need a hot pad to open the car door. And he insists that he loves it. It's just human nature to go against the grain, but there is just nothing so beautiful as a rainy day, especially this time of year. All the rhubarb is coming in, just coming in hand over fist. Margie Krebsbach went out to the old Olson home place. The house is falling apart. The roof finally busted off the corner of it. Rain coming in. It's not going to last much longer. Her old childhood home sitting off there in Roger Headland's cornfield. And still the rhubarb coming up after the family is gone. Years later, the rhubarb coming up. She picked 25 pounds of it, and she took it back, and she boiled it down into sauce. You take 3 cups of rhubarb, and you take 1 cup of sugar, and you put in orange juice to taste and a little cinnamon. And this is the secret of the good life, rhubarb. You wonder about young people graduating from high school if we have told them what they need to know. We've told them that it all depends on hard work, but rhubarb plays a big part in it too. Margie's Aunt Persis, she lived to be 106 years old, still good hearing, good eyes, and a sharp tongue, and it's all because of rhubarb. That was her secret. Anyway, graduation was Thursday night at Lake Wobegon High School, Thursday night, 125 members of the graduating class, and it was a good bunch of people. It was held out on the football field. They thought it might rain, but they decided to do it on the football field anyway. And the skies cleared, and the band played Pomp and Circumstance as the class came marching in. And all of these parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles stood up. And people who hadn't cried in years, tears came to their eyes when they heard that march. It just seemed like only yesterday when these little kids were just being toilet trained. They were just learning cursive writing. And now here they are. They're all tall and marching in a long line, little bursts of light from cameras going off as the class marched by them. Suddenly, people didn't dare look at each other. They could feel the person standing next to them trembling, and they knew that they were weeping, people who do not weep. They were weeping. They were crying, wiping the tears away. Kids they've been yelling at and complaining about for years and worrying about, and now they're all grown up. And what do we do now? What's left for us? Everybody sang the Star Spangled Banner and America the Beautiful and My Country, Tis of Thee, and the choir sang This Is My Country, and the valedictorian, Taylor Magandan, stood up and gave an exactly 5-minute speech on the unavoidable opponent, which, of course, is time. And Carrie Anderson, the salutatorian, got up and spoke on A Lesson Learned, exactly 5 minutes, which, it turned out, is we can do more than we may think we can do. And then the main speaker came up, who was Tippi Christensen, who used to be Fern when she graduated from Lake Wobegon in 1985, but she didn't want to be a plant any longer. And so she became Sharon, and then she became Andromeda. And then people started to call her Tippi because she had an inner ear disorder, and she had a hard time keeping her balance, and sometimes she just topples over, so she uses this walking stick to walk with. She wrote an inspirational book called The Humanity of Being, which quite a big bestseller, quite a distinction for a Lake Wobegon graduate. And so there she was. She was dressed in a white caftan, and her hair was braided around the back. And she began her speech with 1 minute of silence, which she hadn't said she was going to do, and so made people a little uneasy, and people were just about to get up and help her. And then she said, I want all of you to close your eyes and take a deep breath and envision the people you know who are here tonight, and I want you to hold them in your mind and imagine them all covered with white feathers. I guess that she was saying that there's something sacred in all of us, or something mystical in all of us, but it made people think of the time Lyle Bradley dressed up in a chicken suit for the Halloween parade, and that wasn't what she was thinking about. And people started to laugh, and it became sort of contagious, and it went on. Now, every year, the senior class at graduation pulls a joke, something outrageous, and the superintendent, Mr. Halverson, used to try to stop them, but now he's accepted this as a tradition, and he told them, just don't hurt anybody. And they were going to wait until the end, but something about her speech, you know, something about mindfulness and being aware of what is around us, made the two boys in the back decide that now was the time. And there was a smell that spread across the football field that gradually got stronger and stronger. It was a smell stronger than what any one person could produce, though people did look sidelong at their neighbors for a moment. But they did this from a bucket of iron sulfide, which you put acid into, and it produces hydrogen sulfide, which is the mother of all farts. And it spread, and it got stronger and stronger and stronger. And Tippi had to leave the stage, and she had to leave in a hurry. And she forgot her walking stick, and she went out, and she took a dive, and she had to be carried away, and the diplomas were presented quickly, and the audience, which had been weeping, was now weeping again, and somehow all the warm feelings of graduation seemed to dissipate in all of this. And when the graduates came off the field holding their diplomas, there were people hissing at them. How could you do that? How could you? I didn't do it. I didn't. Well, you knew about it. Don't say you didn't. You know about it. I didn't know it would be that bad. But everybody was glad that the speech was over. She still had about 12 pages left, and Margie Krebsbach, who got the copy of her speech, said that there were a number of one-minute silences, meditative silences, left in the rest of the speech. So it was a good thing. A lot of graduation open houses being held this weekend. Some people going to 5, 6, 7 of them. If it rains, it's really going to be tough this weekend. They say it might. So you might wind up sitting shoulder to shoulder and cheek to jowl in somebody's garage or somebody's basement, because you got to go to the graduation party of every graduate whose family you have any connection with. And you've got to stay for at least 15 minutes. And you've got to have at least one sloppy Joe or whatever they're serving. And you've got to congratulate the graduate who is just stunned by all of this attention. And you've got to stuff the gift in his or her pocket. And if it's somebody, you know, somebody you like, the family you like, you $40 probably. And if it's somebody you're related to, $100. So it's a lot of money, and off you go to the next. It's a big tradition. After graduation, some parents sat out at the end of the pier sticking out into the lake, and they sat out there that Thursday night, and they looked up at the stars, and they thought long thoughts about this event, seeing their children walk across that stage, even with that terrible smell. Nature only wanted us to have kids, you know, to perpetuate the species. That's what we're supposed to do. And then what do you do after that? You're supposed to get out of their way. Just raise them until they can fend for themselves. And then you go die and let the young people take over. This is what nature wants. It's not necessarily what we old people want, but nature is not interested in our twilight years. It just is not. Once you've raised your kids, your role is all over as far as nature is concerned. And that's why men over 50 tend to have a higher incidence of erectile dysfunction. It's nature's way of saying, you're done now. You're done. Go sit down. That's why your kids' hormones get so ugly when they're teenagers. It's nature's way of telling your kids, get away from those people. Don't listen to them. You're only going to learn mistakes. Just get away. Living to be 80 or 90 years old is a lovely idea, but it's an artificial idea, you see. It's not natural. So a man over a certain age owes the world an explanation for why you are sticking around other than vanity. What is the point? Most writers have shot their wad by now, and most singers are ready to sit down too. Old ball players, they're all done. Old sailors, what's the point of it? Well, the point is that the dragonflies are swarming. These beautiful black insects are swarming. And the helicopter seeds are falling off the trees, and they are as magnificent as they were when you were a child. And the lilacs are in bloom, and the smell is one you never, ever get tired of. And who would want to leave this beautiful world before God picks you up bodily and heaves you out the door? All the time you're looking at creation, even as God picks you up to throw you over the cliff, you still love the sight and the smell of it. What a beautiful world. How lucky we are. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, all the children are above average.